make use of the following guidelines to optimize your receptivity and derive maximum benefit from this session. Dedicate the next 40 to 50 minutes exclusively for this purpose. If you have children or pets who might interrupt you, please ensure that they are taken care of for the duration of the session. Please turn off your cell phone and avoid texting or checking it during the session. Please sit with your hands on your knees, palms open, facing upwards with your spine comfortably erect, and close your eyes. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, relax into this exhalation. Take one more deep breath, and as you exhale, relax even more into this exhalation. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax completely into this one. Now, please put your hands together in prayer and close your eyes. Repeat after me. Swastiastu Vishvasya Kala Prasiddhatam Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Dhiya Namascha Bhadram Bhajatad Adokshaje Avishyatam No Matir Api Ahituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing mantra yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence and always remain in his thought. Today's talk is based on teachings of Swami Vishnu Devanand, the Yoga Guru and the founder of International Sivanand Yoga Vedanta Center in Ashrams, who is also regarded as an authority on Hatha Yoga. Through meditation, one learns to understand how the mind operates and thus is able to begin the growth process. Exactly what techniques are used depends on the nature of the individual. In yoga, there are four main paths. Raja Yoga, which is scientific psychological approach focusing on concentration and meditation. Next is Karma Yoga, is the path of eliminating the ego and attachment through selfless service. Then is Gyan Yoga, is the method by which the intellect is used to negate bondage to the material world. And Bhakti Yoga sublimates the emotions into devotion. There are a number of other forms of yoga. Hatha Yoga is actually an aspect of Raja Yoga. It starts with the physical body and goes on to work with the energies of the astral body. In Kundalini Yoga, the meditator concentrates on a specific Sanskrit phrase for the purpose of stifling the mind, evoking positive energies. For stable and consistent progress, the meditator should choose a preferred path, but always draw from the techniques and visions from other methods. Through meditating regularly, the mind becomes clear and motives are pure. The ego slowly eradicated. The basics of meditation. Much has been said and written about meditation, yet it takes years to understand its nature. It cannot be taught, just as sleep cannot be taught. One may have a king-size post-operatic mattress and air-conditioned room and the absence of all disturbances, but sleep may not come. Sleep itself is not in any one sense. One falls into it. In the same way, meditation comes by itself. To still the mind and enter into silence requires daily practice. Yet, there are certain steps that can be taken to establish a foundation and ensure success. Before beginning, have a proper environment and attitude. Your place of meditation, schedule, physical health, and mental state should all reflect a readiness to turn inward. Many difficult obstacles are removed by creating a setting which is conducive to meditation. The following are practical points regarding the basic techniques and stages of meditation. They are primarily intended for the beginner, although even the most experienced meditator will find a review of them useful. Regularity of time, place and practice are the most important. Regularity conditions the mind to slow down its activities with a minimum delay. It is difficult to focus the mind, which wants to jump about as soon as you sit for concentration. Just as a conditioned reflex is a response to establish external stimuli, so the mind will settle down more quickly when time and place are established. Secondly, the most effective times are dawn and dusk, when the atmosphere is charged with special spiritual forces. The preferred time is Brahma Muhurta, the hours between 4 and 6 a.m. In these quiet hours after sleep, the mind is clear and unruffled by activities of the day. Refreshed and free of worldly concerns, it can be molded more easily. Concentration will come without effort. If it is not feasible to sit for meditation at this time, choose an hour when you are not involved with daily activities and the mind is apt to be calm. Regularity is the most important consideration. If possible, sit facing north or east in order to take advantage of the favorable magnetic vibrations. Sit in a comfortable, steady posture, with spine and neck held erect but not tense. This helps to steady the mind and encourage concentration. The psychic current must be able to travel unimpeded from the base of the spine to the top of the head. It is not necessary to place the legs in Padmasana or cross-legged, the classic lotus posture. Fifth, any comfortable cross-legged posture provides a firm base for the body. It makes a triangular path for the flow of energy, which must be contained rather than dispersed in all directions. Consequently, regulate that breath. Begin with 5 minutes of deep abdominal breathing to bring oxygen to the brain. Keep the breathing rhythmic. Inhale for 3 seconds and exhale for 3 seconds. Regulation of breath also regulates the flow of prana, the vital energy, and slowly you can increase the timing. Allow the mind to wander. At first, it will jump around but will eventually become concentrated, along with the concentration of prana. Do not force the mind to be still. This would set into motion additional brain waves, hindering meditation. If the mind persists in wandering, simply disassociate with it and watch it objectively, as though you were watching a movie. It will gradually slow down. While chanting the mantra, coordinate the repetition with the breathing. Do not change the mantra. Repetition will lead to pure thought, in which sound vibration merges with the thought vibration. Begin the practice of meditation with 20-minute periods and increase to 1 hour. A healthy body is essential to the development of one's full potential. If the physical machinery is not in optimum condition, which will not be a fit instrument for daily work, meditation, and service to others. It is important to keep a balance in life. Moderation in all things is recommended. Proper exercise, proper breathing, proper relaxation, proper diet, and positive thinking are the requisites attendant of meditation. In order to remove distractions from the mind, a healthy body and psychic are necessary. Proper exercise is not muscle building. The entire physical system, internal and external, should be kept in tune. The objective is to tone the body, release tension, and ensure excellent circulation, digestion, assimilation, and elimination. The body is kept supple. At the same time, concentration and serenity are developed. Proper relaxation is also needed to maintain mental, spiritual, and physical health. Yogic asanas and pranayams include special techniques for relaxation. These techniques also emphasize the conservation and efficient use of energies contained in the body. Many think that relaxation involves leaving home or some exotic place where the mind and the body are ceaselessly pumped with stimulants and depressants and full of range of other damaging delights. It is no wonder one hears so often, "I just couldn't wait to get home from my vacation so I could relax." True relaxation comes from removing the stimuli, visual, audible, and otherwise, and tuning into the inner awareness. What is consumed by the human body correlates directly to the efficiency with which the brain functions. Recent studies show that certain red food coloring creates hyperactivity in children, and that refined sugar can cause emotional instability. These are just two examples of substances that are often heedlessly consumed without understanding their effects on the body and mind. A person who meditates regularly must be particularly aware of these substances, for even on a day-by-day basis, diet affects the quality of meditation. The optimum diet for a meditator is a simple one. This is not to say that meals should not be appetizing, but there should be an absence of those foods which negatively affect the mind. Hot and pungent spices, garlic, onion, salt, coffee, black tea, and meat agitate the mind, and hence control of the thoughts become difficult. Then there are those foods which dull the mind, rendering a state of sleepiness instead of concentration. These include all pre-cooked and overripe foods, as well as the obvious alcohol, marijuana, and cigarettes, though not taken as foods, also fit into this category. Of course, the above items are on most people's list of favorite indulgences. It is not expected that every person will make an immediate radical change in diet, but those who are sincerely interested in meditation may begin by phasing out meat and cigarettes. Many detrimental habits will fall away of themselves simply due to the change of consciousness that occurs in meditation. Start by shopping and cooking with a greater degree of awareness. Buy fresh fruits and vegetables. Avoid additive processed foods and canned goods wherever possible. Buy a few good books on nutrition and vegetarian diet. Within a few months, a great change will take place. Several years ago, vegetarianism was in a sense of underground practice. A person who refrained from eating meat was viewed with a certain amount of curiosity, if not suspicion. Today, it is quite a different story. Health food stores and vegetarian restaurants are prevalent. there is a growing awareness that our health is directly affected by what we eat. Many diseases can be cured by a change in diet or a short period of fasting with no medications at all. This is true not only of physical disorders, but of many mental difficulties as well. It is particularly important that pregnant women have this awareness. Too often, they do not realize the effect of their diet on the developing fetus. Contrary to the popular concept, vegetarians do get enough protein. It is meat eaters who take an excess protein. Animal protein contains a high concentration of uric acid, which is a nitrogen compound similar to ammonia. It is not water soluble and cannot be broken down by the liver. Thus, though a certain amount is eliminated, the greater portion of uric acid is deposited in the joints. The result is often arthritis. Hardening of the arteries and heart disease are two of the most common maladies in the West, where the greatest amount of meat is consumed. The culprit is cholesterol, which cannot be eliminated from the body. It forms fatty deposits along the walls of the end arteries, gradually thickening until they are clogged and inflexible. Something that merely switching from butter to margarine will solve the problem. But in fact, any oil that has been hydrogenated is equally as harmful. The major source of cholesterol, however, does not come from occasional butter on your toast in the morning, but from the hundreds of pounds of meat and its fats that most people consume each year. Of all most common infirmities, the one that strikes fear into the most heart is cancer. Many substances have been found to create cancer in animals, but results of most studies seem to indicate that the amount consumed by the average person is insufficient. What is not revealed is that the accumulation of these poisons over a period of years does create cancer. Innumerable chemicals are fed and injected into animals. These increase weight to heal, more money per animal. Nitrites, food coloring, artificial hormones, and even arsenic are among the chemicals contained in animal flesh. By the time it goes on the supermarket shelf, this plus the many other additives consumed by members of an industrialized society collect in the body and are stored in these tissues. Cancer occurs when the cells react to these excessive toxins by mutating into cells which reproduce uncontrollably. There are other physical and spiritual reasons for not eating meat. One is that four times as much grain is used when feeding animals than if a person consumes the grain directly. This raises a moral question in regard to sharing of the world's resources. Plants are the original source of energy for all living things, as they store the energy of the sun through photosynthesis. Vegetarians take their nourishment from the original source. Their diet is more economical with regard to personal cost and the best utilization of available land. It is also noteworthy that our digestive system is not one of a carnivore. Our teeth are designed for biting and mashing vegetables, not tearing flesh. We must age, tenderize, and cook meat. The human liver is proportionally smaller than that of a meat-eating animal and is not built to handle the filtering of animal poisons. Also, the alimentary canal, which is short in carnivorous animals to speed poisons through the body quickly, is quite long in humans, yet it is in any vegetarian animal. For a yogi, though the main consideration is not eating meat, is the basic principle of ahimsa or non-injury. Thou shalt not kill. Animals have feelings and consequences just as humans do. The mass breeding and slaughter are as much cruel as throwing stones at the neighbor's dog. There is no doubt that you are what you eat. A subtle part of what is consumed becomes the consciousness. Those who have changed from a meat to vegetarian diet notice a corresponding change in consciousness. There is a certain crossness and that disappears, and the awareness becomes finally attuned. This is, of course, extremely conducive to meditation. The purer the diet, the more easily the mind is controlled. Then, with time and practice, success in meditation is assured. Meditation means a continuous de-hypnotizing from identification with the body, mind, name and the form. It must start in everyday life. If you cannot be detached from day-to-day activities, it will be difficult to enter into meditation. If there is continuous identification with your actions, then those same activities will go on even when the body is sitting still. The eyes may be closed, hands clasped and feet crossed, but the mind will not be checked. Activity or inactivity makes no difference. The mind plays its part in all conditions. In order to sit for meditation, the mind must be detached, withdrawn from day-to-day concerns. A person who meditates can turn out more work in less time. He has peace within. His actions are all on a pure level, and those who come in contact with him are uplifted. In his dynamic presence, people find strength and encouragement. They are inspired to perform actions that they could not otherwise do. Lethargy vanishes in the presence of a true meditator. Remember, meditation is a simple technique almost anyone can enjoy and can do it. What you need to do is simply sit quietly and comfortably in a relaxed and steady position. Still the body, make the breathing process serene, that is calm, deep, without checks, and then allow the mind to become quiet and focused. Simply allow your eyes to close, but don't squeeze them shut or create any pressure on your eyes. Simply let all your facial muscles relax. Your mouth should also be gently closed without any tension in the jaw. All breathing is done through the nostrils. Your shoulders and arms should be relaxed and allowed to rest gently on your knees. Your arms should be so completely relaxed that if someone who wishes to pick up your hand, your arms would be limp. You can gently join the thumb and index finger in a position called finger lock. This mudra or gesture creates a circle which you can think of symbolically as a small circle that recycles the energy within. If you can sit on the floor with your legs crossed like kids in the candy, well and good. Or sit on a chair, but make sure you are comfortable with your feet flat on the floor and your hands resting gently on your thighs, your palms facing up. This posture allows you to begin the process of meditation without creating any difficulty for the body. In a moment, we shall begin practical mantra yoga. And let us remind ourselves that for the next 30 minutes or so, all we will do is sitting and softly chanting or singing. From time to time, our mind will wander away. And this is completely fine. What we shall do is gently guide the mind back into the sound. Concentrate, listen to your voice, sound of the mantra, and continue chanting or singing as the situation is. And now we'll begin to recite the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now please repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now let's do it together. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's sing along.
Hare Krishna. Arirao.